Well, here we are, the 8th Wednesday, the 8th of October, and I'm Alec Hogg, and I have a rather belated report for you. But once again, I know that you're going to forgive me because I've spent the whole day at the Joburg Mining Indaba, and I wanted to give you a summary of the first day rather than having some kind of an ad hoc halfway through. Well, it really has been an eye-opener, and it supports the decision that we made to get more involved in the mining sector. Let me give you a few of the stats about mining in South Africa, because we tend to easily forget how important the sector is for our country. Paul Dunn, who's the chairman of Northam and also, sorry, CEO of Northam and the chairman of the Minerals Council of South Africa, gave a very measured speech. He was the second up after Duncan Oneblood. I'll give you some good news from his, from the Anglo-American CEO's talk in a moment. But in his talk, Paul Dunn said that mining in South Africa employs 465,000 people, and each of those people support something like 10 others. And so if you add it all together, his numbers, not mine, he says at least 2% of South Africa is directly reliant on what they get from the mining sector. Add to that something that is quite gobsmacking, really, that 45% of South African export earnings. So 45% of the foreign exchange we earn in South Africa that comes into the country comes from the mining sector. So that has to just, if I was sitting in government and I had a look at that as part of the entire picture, I'd say, wow, this is a sector you got to look after. It also accounts for 6% of GDP, and something else government should be considering, 14% of the total income tax collected. And that is in a bad time for mining. Mining's really had it tough in recent times. So that should give us enough pause to say, why aren't we giving mining more attention? And I guess it's partly because the politicians have not, well, they've seen mining as an opportunity to plunder and to apply their ideological prejudices and completely chased away international investors. There was a fabulous presentation by Richard Selshop of McKinsey. Okay, don't shoot me. And McKinsey doesn't have a great name in South Africa, but Richard doesn't work in South Africa. He worked for McKinsey in the US. And he said in 15 years over there, he is a South African, in 15 years there, he can count the times that clients of McKinsey, which is the, I suppose, still overseas anyway, we know they blotted their copybook quite badly in South Africa, but overseas, the most reputable consulting company in the world, he could count on one hand the number of executives who have asked or made a comment on South African mining, either good or bad. He says we're just off the page. And this is really crazy, because what was coming through on the mining in Durban today, time and again, is that this country has unbelievable resources. The problem is we haven't been doing any exploration for the last 20 years. So imagine this. You're sitting on a literal gold mine, but you haven't been incentivized to go and find out how much gold is below you. And indeed, if you were to incentivize people to do that, which you aren't doing, and if they were to find gold, well, you make it so difficult for them to open a gold mine that they won't open it anyway. They'll rather go to Mongolia or somewhere else in the world. And that is really the story of South Africa. In South Africa, it costs about 20 billion rand to create a new mine. The South African mining companies don't have that money. So they have to go internationally and ask international investors to give them the money. But the international investors say, your mining legislation is so bad that we don't know whether we're going to get our money back in the first place. And secondly, we really don't want to give away 30% or pay a 30% tax, which is called BEE, to even mine in the first place, invest in the first place. So who's going to do the mining? Who's going to do the investing? It is just really, really dumb. Dunning-Kruger in full cry here, two professors who went through some research, Mr. Dunning and Mr. Kruger, and they said that the less you know, the more you seem to think you know, and the more confidence you have in your limited understanding. Anyway, Dunning-Kruger's at work. South Africa's rating on the internationally acknowledged and respected Fraser Institute's rating of mining destinations is down to 62nd out of 82. And if you have to contrast that with what's going on elsewhere, Saudi Arabia, Richard was telling us, has only just come into the mining game. They're sitting at 23rd out of those 82. And the reason for that is because they've actually got a national mining plan. They put the right kind of regulations together and they're attracting a lot of investment. Morocco, seriously? 18th out of 82, and worse, Zambia. Zambia, if you recall, nationalized all the mines in the 60s. Well, they're sitting now at 26th out of 82, and the money is pouring into Zambia and into DRC. But you can't tie someone down and bring them to South Africa and to start a mine. And the local mines, what they're doing, the best they can do, is just to reinvest in their existing operations. They aren't opening new mines. We had some, and they're really competent people. I thoroughly enjoyed listening to a number of the mining CEOs, be it the gold CEOs. The new chief executive of Sibanye was very impressive. So was the head of Sibanye here in South Africa, who was talking about they're not going down anymore and they're not creating new mines, but they're looking up at the old reefs that were abandoned 50 years ago because they weren't then workable at the gold price at that time. But now with the gold price above $4,000 an ounce, well, everything's being reassessed. So, but they need money to open those reefs, to reopen those old mines. And the money they don't have, the money has to come from international investors. So you see the picture that's going around. And this came through time and again. The other big thing that came through was South Africa's also becoming an expensive destination to mine in because of the costs of Eskom power. Now, tomorrow, Mteto Nyati is going to be, the chairman of Eskom is going to be talking at the mining Indaba. I'm sure he's going to have a lot of questions. Certainly the questioning here is extremely robust. And he will have to defend a statement that came through that when you add the bits and pieces, the actual increase in electricity costs in the last year for the mining industry anyway is more like 16% than the 12% which was publicly stated. The other parastatal that is really hurting the mining sector is Transnet. There's some feeling that perhaps they finally bottomed out and are going to start moving up again. But, that again, tomorrow we've got the CEO of Transnet who is going to be addressing the Indaba, and I'm looking forward to that. Gwedi Montash comes right at the end. Unfortunately, I'm going to be on a plane coming home, but I will be able to watch, as we all can, that address. All of those videos are being made available. Getting back to after the goings on of the day, I'm sure like many other South Africans, I watched General Mkhwanazi on ENCA making his appearance before the ad hoc parliamentary committee. He really is impressive, isn't he? Calm, he's fully in control of everything that he's talking about. He does come across incredibly authentically and as somebody who is the kind of person you'd like to see as Minister of Police or maybe even more senior. And there is a conversation that my colleague Christine had with Juanita Dupria from Action Society. That's the organization that Ian Cameron used to head before he went off to Parliament. And they've got some very interesting things to say about Mkhwanazi as well. We're at an interesting time. in our life. On the one hand, on the mining side, I'm really hoping that South Africans as a whole just open their eyes to what's happened to this sector, which really can be the backbone and has been the backbone of our country for decades, if not centuries, actually. And with the gold price going through $4,000 an ounce, well, by not taking advantage of this, it's almost like economic sabotage. I did have a long chat about the mining in Durban with Peter Major. That'll be processed by the team overnight, and we'll have it up for you tomorrow morning. And I hope you watch that, or we can't watch it because we did it on audio, but I hope you enjoy that conversation. And I will be back again tomorrow afternoon with another wrap of what happened at the mining in Durban. But until then, cheerio.